The Karmic Conundrum. Once it happened, on a certain day, Shankaran Pillai was sitting in a bar with his buddies. Suddenly the clock struck 8. Shankaran Pillai put down his glass, rose, and started walking toward the door. His friend said, "Hey, what's the problem? Where are you going? Why don't you finish your drink?" But Shankaran Pillai kept walking wordlessly, zombie-like, towards the door. The friends laughed and said, "Okay, now we know. It's 8 o'clock. You got to go home. You're afraid of your wife, aren't you? What are you, a man or a mouse?" Shankaran Pillai stopped, turned around, and said, "I am the man in the house. If I were a mouse, my wife would be afraid of me." He walked slowly home. His wife's rule was that he should reach home by 8. Today, the man-mouse argument and his slow, inebriated pace had delayed him. His wife was sitting on the porch, rolling pin in hand. She glowered at him and said, "You fool, once again drinking? Come here, I will show you." Shankaran Pillai was a frail but agile man. He walked toward her meekly, but then suddenly leapt over her and ran into the house. She rose and lumbered after him. He made her run all over the house, confident that she would never be able to catch him. After much running around, he darted into the bedroom and scampered and hid under the bed. She rushed behind him. She was a big woman, could not slip under the bed. He lay there, secure, as she hollered, "You coward, what are you doing under the bed? Come out. Are you a man or a mouse?" Shankaran Pillai replied, "I am the man of this house. I have the freedom to lie down wherever I want." It was the only place he could be at that moment, but he needed to claim it was his freedom. Unfortunately, most human beings are doing much the same thing. They are labeling their compulsions, their limitations, as their choices. If you can joyfully do whatever is needed in a given situation, this is freedom. But limiting yourself to doing only what you like is a horribly compulsive way to live. This compulsiveness is the trick of karma, that ancient word that has been mangled by popular usage across the world. What exactly is karma? Karma literally means action. Action is of three kinds. It would be in terms of body, mind, or energy. Whatever you do with your body, mind, or energy leaves a certain residue. This residue forms a pattern of its own, and these resultant patterns stay with you. When you gather a huge volume of impressions, slowly these shape themselves into tendencies, and you become like an automatic toy, a slave to your patterns, a puppet of your past. Karma is like old software that you have written for yourself. Unconsciously, depending on the type of actions that you perform, you write your software. Once you write a certain type of software, your whole system functions accordingly. Based on the information from the past, certain memory patterns are formed and keep recurring. Now life is just cyclical. This is why the same patterns keep returning in your life. There are a few variations, but they remain essentially the same, repeating themselves across generations. After a while, this repetitiveness can be deadly. It is important to see that these patterns rule you from within, not from without. No one has to exercise any external control upon you. Your inner autocrat rules you all the time. You may think it is a new day. Circumstances may change, but internally you are experiencing the same thing over and over again. And so, the more things change, the more they stay the same, not physically but experientially. You are helplessly stuck in the karmic rut. Freedom is now an empty word because the way you think, feel and understand life, even the way you sit, stand and move, is conditioned by your past impressions. From the moment you were born, your parents, your family, your education, your friends, where you lived, where you traveled, all this decided everything about you. Karma is encrypted on every aspect of life. It is imprinted on your mental memory, the fundamentals of your body, your chemistry, your very energy. These are all backup systems. Even if you lose your body or your mind, you still do not lose your karma. The backup systems are so efficient. What you consider to be your personality, the bundle of traits and tendencies that you are, is because of information you have gathered unconsciously. These tendencies have been traditionally described as vasanas. The word vasana literally means smell. Depending upon what type of garbage is in the bin today, that is the kind of smell that will emanate from it. Depending upon what type of smell you emit, you attract certain kinds of life situations to yourself. Suppose today there is rotten fish in the garbage bin. It may stink for you, but many other creatures are drawn to it. Tomorrow, if there are flowers in the garbage bin, it smells different and still other creatures are drawn to it. When I first went down south to the city of Coimbatore almost 30 years ago, I stayed as a guest in a physician's house. He was a gregarious man and told me of an incident that happened in his family. They were from a coastal region in India, and his elder daughter was particularly fond of fish. She was studying up north in the hills of Dehradun, where she did not get fish to eat. So whenever she came home for her vacation, she wanted to have it every day. His wife was a vegetarian, but she would cook fish even though she did not eat it. There is a particular variety of small dried fish that you would know if you are from that part of the country. It has an incredible odor. If it is being carried in a truck, you would like to drive 2 miles behind the truck or hold your breath as you pass it. Cooking it in the house is a pretty good strategy to evict your neighbors from their homes. This girl wanted that particular fish to be prepared. So as they were frying this dried fish, and it was as if the entire house was being fumigated, such an odor could raise the dead. The mother went into the kitchen to tell the cooks how to prepare it, but the moment the stink began to emanate from the frying pan, she ran out of the kitchen because she could not stand it. Meanwhile, the girl who was in the bedroom also smelled it and ran out, following the scent. Both the mother and the daughter crashed headlong into each other, and the mother ended up with a broken nose. I mention this incident not as an illustration of reward and punishment, but as an illustration of the possible consequences of strong attachment and aversion. When these dominate your life, some kind of smash-up is inevitable. Vasanas, or tendencies, are generated by a vast accumulation of impressions caused by your physical, mental, and energy actions. What you call your personality is just an expression of these tendencies. Now, today, if you are doing something in a particular way and someone asks you why you can't do it differently, you often declare, "This is my nature. Can't I do what I want?" This is not your nature. You are not doing what you want. These tendencies have become compulsive. This is your bondage, a kind of software you are writing for yourself unconsciously. Once your software is fixed, it looks as if there is only one path you can walk in your life. it looks as if your destiny is predetermined. A spiritual process, however, means we have made up our minds to rewrite our software consciously. In India, karma is a common word. If people exhibit any kind of compulsive behavior, others will immediately say, "Oh, that's their karma." This means that it is of their making. The bitterness or sweetness of any experience is not in the event itself, but in how you perceive and respond to it. What is a very bitter experience for one person could be a blessing for another. Once a grief-stricken man sat by a gravestone crying bitterly and hitting his head against it, "My life, oh, how senseless it is! My body is a worthless carcass now that you have gone. If only you had lived, if only fate had not been so cruel, if only you hadn't left, how different my life would have been." A clergyman nearby overheard him and said, "I assume the person lying beneath this mound of earth was someone of great importance to you." "Importance? Yes, indeed," wept the man, wailing even louder. "It was my wife's first husband." So the quality of your life is always decided by how you experience life, not by what life offers you. It is important to remember that karma is not a negative word. Karma is what gives stability and structure to your life. Every moment, impressions are flooding in torrents into your system through your five sense organs, and each of them is being recorded. There is nothing wrong with this stored information. It is very useful for your survival. If you deleted all of it, you would not know how to handle even the simplest aspects of life. The spiritual process does not seek to demolish the storehouse of karmic impressions, but helps you to become more conscious of it and establish a little space which allows you to stand outside of it. So your software is not in itself the problem. It turns into your problem only if it becomes the ruling factor in your life. To talk of good karma and bad karma is like talking of good bondage and bad bondage. There is no such thing. Karma is just your own creation. It is neither good nor bad. It is software that can be useful if you have some freedom from it. This is all the spiritual process aims to do, loosen the grip of karma upon you. Whatever be the nature of your past karma, there is enough awareness in a human being to take complete charge of the karma of the present moment. If you want any kind of transformation, any kind of forward movement in your life, it can only happen if you break the cyclical patterns of karma. Anything that is cyclical suggests constant motion, but it doesn't really go anywhere. If you are sensitive to life, you realize this early. If you are less sensitive, you realize this as you grow older. Everything may seem to be going your way. Your professional life may be flourishing, your capital may be increasing, your family may be thriving, but you are not really getting anywhere. The faster you achieve your success, the faster you realize this. When you are in a certain state of insufficiency, you keep thinking that everything will be okay once your dreams are realized. But if all the things that you dreamt of happen very quickly, you suddenly realize that, although everything is happening as you thought it should, life still remains unfulfilled and your longings persist. Until you break this cycle, there is no real choice in your life. Sometimes you may have felt you have experienced a breakthrough. Things seem to have changed, and everything seems great for the next 3 days. But on the fourth day, you fall back into the same rut. Hasn't this happened to you any number of times? That is because there is no freedom of thought, emotion, action, and above all, no freedom of experience as long as you're in the karmic grip. At the same time, avoiding karma is not the answer either. Avoidance may give you some balance and stability in day-to-day life, but slowly it saps you of life and joy. This is very negative karma in itself. Denying, suppressing, and avoiding life brings more bondage than freedom. The desire, "I don't want karma," is itself a big karma. The very process of living is itself a dissolution of karma. If you live every moment of your life totally, you dissolve enormous amounts of karma. When you experience everything that comes your way absolutely, when you experience every life breath with utmost intensity, without the distractions of thought and emotion, devoid of any psychological drama, you are liberated from the very process of birth and death. You are not only more alive, you are life itself. Yoga offers a way to distance yourself not just from your karma, but from the very source of karma, which is the discriminatory intellect. It offers you the choice every moment of your existence to be either a victim or a spectator or the very master of your life. With a certain amount of effort and practice, we can all write a software of joy and well-being for ourselves.